So our second scripture reading this morning takes us to a story that we've probably heard before, one that is relatively familiar to us because it's usually read almost every year this time of year. And it's a story that sometimes we hear it, we might think it's a little too fantastical to believe. Other times we hear it and we have a certain reverence for it. And it's one of those stories, though, that I think regardless of how you hear it, has some very deep and profound truths for us and reveals something that we all need to hear. So we're going to take a look today at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 10 through about 17 or 18. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Amen. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you once again for welcoming us to this place. For welcoming us as we are and welcoming our worship from wherever it comes. God, we also thank you for the gift of your word, the way it speaks to us, the experiences that it asks us to visualize and to see. We thank you for how it speaks to our imagination, God, as well as our reverence for you. And God, we pray as we hear your word, as we contemplate your word, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts are pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you know that the ancient Egyptians would use ostrich eggs for deodorant?
No.
Yeah, that's probably right. What they would do is they would take the ostrich egg, they would ground it up and combine it with nuts, tamarisk, which was a type of shrub, and tortoise shell into a paste. And then they'd mix it with fat. And then they'd rub it all over their body to cover the smell of body odor or sweat or whatever. Now, I have to admit, I don't know if the smell of, you know, old ostrich egg deodorant is any better than the smell they were trying to cover. But still, that's what they did. And how many of us had actually heard something like that before? Now, if you did know about old ostrich egg deodorant, chances are you heard it somewhere from someone. Like, for example, you may have read it in our cast of Christmas devotional this week. I believe it was from the Monday devotional. The point is, knowledge about who, what, where, how, and why of our world is often learned by one person sharing information with another. And with the internet and social media today, sharing knowledge is incredibly easy and efficient. We can share mass amounts of information like ostrich egg deodorant in seconds. In the ancient world, however, believe it or not, they didn't have the internet. And when it came to knowledge and the sharing of knowledge, things operated a little differently. Now, specifically when we talk about knowledge of God's word and God's will, God relied on those that he had chosen specifically to convey his message to his people. Now, last week we talked about one of God's chosen agents, the prophets. And this week we're going to talk about another more superior and heavenly harbinger of God's words, angels. Now, in the original languages of the Bible, the Old Testament, that would be Hebrew, New Testament, that would be Greek, angels are understood to be messengers, and they can either be heavenly messengers or human messengers. For example, the Hebrew word for angel is malak, and it's used in Genesis to describe both the heavenly messengers that God sends to meet Jacob and the human messengers that Jacob sends to meet Esau. Now, over the centuries, as more work and time has been put into understanding angels and what they are and how they work and all this and that, the concept of angel has come to refer to what we normally think of when we think of angels, which is the heavenly being. And throughout Scripture, angels played a key role in delivering God's messages to God's people. Now, we especially think of angels at Christmas, because they are a huge part of the Christmas story because of their earth-shattering announcements about the birth of Jesus. Like in our scripture today, when the angel said to the shepherds, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people." Now, the angel's proclamation would have been both familiar and yet extraordinary to the shepherds. It would have been familiar because every time a new Caesar was born, a royal announcement would go out to the empire proclaiming good news. But the birth of a new Caesar wasn't really good news for all people. In all likelihood, a new Caesar meant really the continuation of an old oppressive system that was actually financed by the work of the poor and the downtrodden, people like the shepherds. Now, what made the angel's proclamation so extraordinary was that, unlike the birth of a new Caesar, this birth announcement was good news for all people, not just those in the royal palace. You see, the angel was announcing the birth of the promised Messiah, of Jesus. And the birth of Jesus would turn the system on its head. You see, the Messiah is a new kind of king who is going to bring a new world order. In all his righteousness and his justice, the Messiah will end up liberating the world. He will bring down the powerful and lift up the lowly. He will fill the hungry while sending the full away. He will scatter the proud while showing favor to the humble. It's no wonder an angelic host shows up to praise God. Such wonderful and extraordinary news is unprecedented in human history. The only proper response is, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Jesus, the promised Messiah, has been born this day in the city of David. Business as usual is done. Joy to the world. That's exactly why God's message had to be delivered by angels to shepherds. Because God's revelation had to be heard by those who needed to hear about it the most and directly. You know, God's proclamation wasn't for those in power. It was for the powerless. People who had been rejected by the world and therefore experienced just how unjust the world was. People who longed for a Savior who would speak for them and bring justice to the world. People who are looking for a sign not from Caesar, but from a higher power. Once again, people like the shepherds. And they aren't the only ones. Even today, there are still so many people who need to hear the angel's announcement, just like the shepherds did. I mean, we're in the middle of the Advent season, the season of expectant hope and joy. And yet there are many for whom the Advent season is neither hopeful nor joyful. There are a lot of grieving people, lonely people, and depressed people. And during the holidays, the oppression of grief and loneliness and depression can actually get worse. For those who are lonely, Advent just feels lonelier. For those who are grieving, they may grieve even more during Advent. For those struggling with mental health illness, Advent may be a time when they actually experience a much deeper, more severe depression. The point is, when you feel hopeless and downtrodden, the Christmas season is just really more of the same. And so, as Henry Nouwen once said, we need to remind each other that the cup of sorrow is also the cup of joy. Instead, we need to be angels for each other, to give each other strength and consolation. So think about who we might be an angel today. Who would, if the angels came today with this divine message from God about a Savior being born, who would they speak to? You know, maybe it's the ticket taker on the metro. Maybe it's a child in a detention cell on the border. Maybe it's a person struggling with an addiction to OxyContin. Maybe it's a teenager whose face is buried in a screen of a cell phone, poring over hurtful comments on Snapchat. Maybe it's the mom with postpartum depression. Maybe it's the man who just lost his job. Maybe it's the family living on the street in downtown Chicago. The fact is, the angels could appear to any of them, all of them, with the good news of great joy. Because the good news that Jesus the Messiah was born is intended as much, if not more so, for them as it is anyone. And the even best part is, behold, he is not, say, in Willis Tower, but he is lying on a cot in an apartment in Pullman. You talk about mind-blowing. And while God's angelic revelation was first delivered to poor and downtrodden shepherds, God's message is still for all people. So that means for those of us who might scoff or be skeptical of angels delivering divine messages and heavenly hosts singing God's praises, the angel's proclamation might in fact be a call to turn from our scoffing and skepticism that we might have about Jesus and who is actually in that manger. You know, it's easy, I think, to be a skeptic or to scoff when the existing power structures are comforting to us. In our first service this morning, our worship assistant made the comment about, in his prayer, about how it is the second week of Advent, and we may not feel ready. Well, one of the ways we can get ready is to repent of any unbelief or skepticism that we might have about Jesus and about who's in that manger. You see, when we have drawn great comfort from the power structures of today, it is hard to see the forest from the trees. It's hard to see and to hear God's redemptive plan for all of creation, audacious as it is. So my question for all of you is, can you believe such an audacious thing? Do you want to believe such an audacious thing? Will you believe in the improbable truth that hope lies not in a palace, but in a manger? Will you believe in the improbable truth that God entered the world not as a powerful ruler, but as a helpless baby? The birth of Jesus really did turn the world upside down. God's angelic revelation inverted everything. So will you dare to believe the angels? Will you, like the shepherds, come and see? Amen.